All right, Proverbs chapter number 24, we'll take off from there. Last week, John David, reach up there and untie that blind, that curtain, please. Just untie that, walk back there so you don't fall. And because you fall around here and you have to have mouth to mouth, your mama's the only person who'll save your life, son. Everybody else is just going to let you sit there and choke. Kick you a little bit till you catch your breath. That's right. It's like untying your shoe backwards, JD. There you go. That a boy. Look at him. Hey, let's give JD a hand. Yeah. Thank you, buddy. Hey, fix it still. That thing's blinding me right there. Pull that curtain this way. It shines right through right there, Miss Stephanie. That's good, John David. Thank you, buddy. It just blinds me. Huh? Put my sunglasses on. Proverbs 24 says, let's pray, Father. We thank you for this opportunity just to gather tonight and open the precious word of God. And I pray, dear God, that you'd lay open our hearts, dear God, and help us to receive this precious word tonight. Teach us, dear God, instruct us, give us understanding and wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Proverbs 24:1 says, be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. In these Proverbs, you can see all through the book of Proverbs, early on into the book of Proverbs, you can see where there's a daddy by the name of Solomon, and he speaks to his children. And early on in the book of Proverbs, he refers to them and says, my son, my son. And so you can see all through the book of Proverbs, this wise daddy trying to give instruction to his sons. And we'll thank God for them daddies that try to help their children. And if you will, hold your finger right there in Proverbs chapter number 24. And with that little thought, let's flip over to Psalms chapter 37. Hold your finger, because we'll come right back to Proverbs right after Psalms 37. Verses 1 through 4 says this. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Then he said, delight thyself also in the Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord. And so what? Why would I do that? Why would I do that? And he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy ways unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Let me say that if you do not delight yourself in the Lord, then your desires won't be right. Isn't that right? That's what our Bible teaches us. This verse tells me a lot about myself, and this verse tells me a lot about others. Delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. A lot of time the reason people ain't receiving the desires of the heart because they're just not delighting themselves. Their desires are wrong. A lot of times the reason their desires are wrong is because their delight is wrong. That's right. They're not delighting in the right thing. So therefore, if your delight is in the wrong thing, if your delight is in something other than Jesus Christ, and I don't even want to make mention, but if your delight is in something other than Jesus Christ, then I promise you, your desires in this life is going to be wrong. You're going to be wanting the wrong things in this life. What makes you want the right things in life? Delighting in the Lord. Putting your delight in the Lord gives you the right kind of desires in this life. All right. If I'm delighting in the wrong thing, then my desires will be wrong also. I find that when I delight in the Lord, then I have right and godly desires, desires that line up with the Word of God. When a husband and a wife's desires is on the Lord, then their hearts aren't drifting away from each other. You hear me? When a husband and a wife delights in the Lord, then they have desires for one another. You want to know why divorce rate is so high in America? Why husbands and wives are growing apart? Why they don't love each other, they say, anymore? Because their delight is not in the Lord. They lose the desire for one another. If they would delight in the Lord, thank God, then their desire would be in the right place. God would put that desire back in their home towards one another. When a child has their delight in the Lord, then their desire is in line with mom and dad's demands. You understand? I mean, when mom and dad demands things and a kid's delighting, a child is delighting in the Lord, it's his desire to obey his mom and dad. It's good. Got the right delight. Got the right desires, wrong delights. Oh Lord, verse number 5. Let's go back to Proverbs 24. You say, why did you say that? Because here Solomon is, you see David trying to teach his son to put his delight in the Lord. David was trying to teach his children, son, if you'll just delight yourself in the Lord, the Lord will give you the desires of your heart. Now here, Solomon is talking to his sons, and it's written for our admonition that we should put our delight in the Lord. The Lord's going to do some things for us that put our delight in Him. Here it is that Solomon is now telling his sons to go not with evil men. In chapter 4, he tells his sons to avoid evil men. He tells them to turn from evil men. He tells his children, his sons, don't even be near evil men. Don't even get close to a fool, son. Stay away from them. Abstain from them. Don't go near them. If they stick their head up, get away from them. Don't hang out with them. Don't hang out with evil men. Then a few chapters later, he said, don't desire to be what they are. Don't desire to be like them. Oh God, the end of their way is destruction. Don't try to be like that, son. It's amazing that the Bible can say something, then parents can say something, true friends can say something, and others can beg and plead for you to do right, and people can give example after example, and we can hear testimony after testimony, and we can hear about how sin scars and how sin destroys and how sin leaves unwelcomed and unwanted baggage in your life. And yet the devil can come along with one lie and entice you. And it seemed like instead of all the instruction that you had, all the wisdom that's cried out, all the love that's been poured into you, seems like every bit of that can go out the back door, and that one enticing lie will seem to follow. Isn't that amazing? Wrong desires. Wrong delight. Oh, dear God, if we're delighting in the Lord, we'll have no desire for that. I promise you. It's amazing. When he tells you that you're missing out, how many people buy into the lie that you're missing out? Oh yeah, he does that. He still does it. He ain't changed. The devil ain't changed. His old stupid ways are still the same as they was in the Garden of Eden. He was a liar, the Bible said, from the beginning. He's a liar now. He forever will be a liar. He started his lies in the Garden of Eden, and he's still lying today. And his lie today is you're missing out. And I tell you, there's been millions upon millions, JD, of people that wouldn't take the word of God, that wouldn't take the word of a loved one or a parent or just any, a companion that seemed to care, but it seemed like they went by the way of the world and they bit into the fact or the lie that that they're missing out. I tell you what people's found out. They're missing out on heartaches, they're missing out on scars, and they miss out on troubles, they miss out on busted homes, they miss out on disease. I'm telling you, bud, people have woke up to the fact, yes, I did miss out when I was walking with God. I missed out when I was doing right. I missed out on all the troubles. I missed out on all the scars. I missed out on all these bad memories. I missed out on ruining my relationships. Yes, them's the things I missed out on. You can be saved. You can later on get saved. You can rebel against the truth. You can go against the word of God. You can go against wisdom. You can go against right instruction and godly counsel. And you can go out there in the way of the world. You can come back. You can get saved. You can get washed. You can get forever settled in heaven. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, but that's not going to bring back your purity. That's not going to erase some things. That's not going to get rid of all the baggage. There's still baggage to carry all the days of your life, clean or not clean, saved or lost. You can be saved and forgiven, but the baggage is still there. I'm telling you today that I've seen wicked men with great gain in this life. And there's been times in my past that I even desired to have some of their kind of stuff. Oh, but I've lived long enough now to realize that if you don't have Jesus, you don't have anything. So if you don't have Him, you have nothing. Outside of Jesus Christ, there is nothing. Look at verse number 2. That's just verse number 1. Verse number 2 says, for their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Talking about these fools, these wicked people, these envious, these evil men, these people that ain't walking in the word of God, ain't walking in wisdom. Their heart studieth destruction. How about that? It studies destruction. Their lips talk of mischief. While your preacher or your parents study on righteousness, the Bible said the fools study of destruction. Can I tell you what the Bible says about that crowd that turns their back on God and goes after evil? The Bible says that their misery, that misery and destruction are in their way. Misery and destruction are in their way. Go in, if you will, to Romans chapter 3 real quick. Romans 3:9. Just listen to what it says. I try not to elaborate a whole lot because the Bible does its own commentating. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under the lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Isn't that something? Destruction and misery are in their ways, for their heart studieth destruction. That's what that Proverbs 24:2 says. Their heart studieth destruction. The prodigal son did this, ladies and gentlemen. He abandoned a godly raising and he went and lived among evil men. Sure. He had a good daddy. He had a good raising. He had a good home. But he abandoned every bit of that to go live righteous out in this world. When destruction and misery came upon the prodigal son, thank God he went to get right. Because when he was down in that hog pen, you can see the Proverbs come to life. Destruction and misery had entered his life. He was not in a good way. He was not in a happy place. And thank God that when he found himself in destruction, when he found himself in misery, thank God that he was able to get up and get back to the Father. But you know what I was thinking the other day, and I might have said it here, I can't remember if I said it or not, but if you think for a half a second that the prodigal son got up out of that hog pen and just nonchalantly walked back to his father, you're crazy. I'm going to tell you, there's some problems that happened in that hog pen, son, that he carried back to his father with him. He got exposed in his flesh to some stinking things that he didn't just get up and walk away from. He carried that junk back home with him. I was thinking about it, Steve, the other day. If people think that he got up and walked back to the Father with the devil not getting in his way, they're crazy. But I promise you that he got exposed to women while he was out there in that hog pen. And I can promise you, showing the world, before he got back to his Father, before he got back to that place of fellowship, I can almost guarantee you that the devil put some women in his path. I guarantee you he met some sin women along the way that tried to flatter him with their lips. That's right. I bet they batted their eyes at him. If his problem was drunkenness down there, I guarantee you somebody probably passed by him on his way back to the Father. I guarantee you, friend, somebody probably offered him a drink on the way home. I'm telling you, it took some determination, some grit. It took something for him to get up and find his way back to the Father. And listen, his Father forgave him. His Father put it all behind him. But I can bet you anything, friend, and he laid on that bed at night, he might have broke out in some cold sweats. He probably had desires laying on his bed at night. He probably got up in the middle of the night and was begging God to help him. No doubt in his flesh he could feel the torments of that sin, the scars that it left behind, that in otherwise he would have never had to deal with if he'd have just abstained from appearances of evil. Sure, I guarantee you, son, he had some of that stuff in his flesh now. He done tasted sin, he experienced some of that stuff. And sure in the world, why he pillowed his head at night, them devils marched around him. I bet you anything, he could feel that sin crawling on his flesh. And no doubt there was probably some desires. And he had to run back to God and beg God for help and ask God for deliverance that he never would have had to deal with had he had just listened to his father. Right. I bet you there's a many a times, buddy, he crawled up in the middle of the night by that altar. So many of us can bear witness with the nights that we've laid on our bed and fought them old nasty desires in our stinking flesh. Had our flesh never tasted that sin, we wouldn't have had to fight that desire. It's a whole lot easier. I've always said it's a whole lot easier to say no than it is to say I quit. It's a whole lot easier to abstain than it is to stay away from it after you've tasted it, because that flesh gets a craving for it. Once the flesh experiences it, once that brain releases in that, I'm telling you, from then on, you're going to have to walk in the mercy of God. It'll haunt you forever. It will haunt you forever. Testimony after testimony. Can only imagine what he must have went through to get back to the Father. Can only imagine. I mean, nobody ever talks about it. I've never heard anybody express anything. But I can guarantee you one thing. I've never got away from God, just got up where I was in, just skipped and tiptoed right on back. No, sir, it was a fight. I had to crawl and climb and fight my way back. I had to look the devil in the eyes and adversity and all the obstacles that he laid and all the snares and traps. And I just had to cling to that old rugged cross and say, oh, God, help me. God, help me. And if it hadn't been for God, no way in this world could I have made it. No way. Instead of just going on, now we had to go on with memories. Instead of just going on, now we got to go on with these scars. Instead of going on, now we got to go on with this battle in our mind. Well, instead of just going on now we got to fight this stinking flesh on top of the everyday fighting the flesh. Now we just added to our problems. We compounded our troubles. God didn't do that. We did that. I'm not going to give the devil credit for that. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. I say it's us that did that. We did that. The devil didn't make me do it. I wanted to do it. I wanted to crawl off in that mess. I didn't fall in sin. I jumped in sin. Right. I knew right from wrong. I knew what was wrong. I had a conscience. I had a decent enough reason to know right from wrong. I think everybody in the world knows right from wrong. I think God put that in a human being. Then a man decides that he's not going to listen to God. He's going to push out the laws of God. And what that man does at that point, when he does away with the thought of God, the laws of God, the consciousness of God, he sears his conscience as with a hot iron. That man is free to go and just destruct at his own pace. Instead of just going on now, he's got to go on with his fleshly desires. Those that he otherwise would have never had he only obeyed the Father's word. Son, if you'll just listen to me, I can imagine Solomon's boys. My God, man, after he's told them something, can you see them if they wander off? I'd have just listened to Dad. If I'd have just listened to the Bible. If I'd have just listened to the preacher. If I'd have just listened to my friend. I said friend. Because a friend will never get you away from God. I said a friend will never get you away from God. A friend will get you closer to God. A friend will encourage you in the Lord. A friend will provoke you to love. A friend will provoke you how to live holy and righteous. That's what a friend does.
Amen.
Look at the latter part of verse number 2. I'm spending more time than what I wanted to. But he said the lips of their lips talk of mischief. They talk about doing wrong. He's saying if you are around people that start talking about doing things contrary to God's way, then you better flee from them. I mean, if they just start insinuating things outside the Word of God, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, I've had to break fellowship with people in my own life, even as a child of God. You say, what do you mean? I mean, I've had to break fellowship with churches. I've had to break fellowship with preachers. I've had to break fellowship with people that was going contrary to the doctrines of that book. And yes, I loved them. Yes, I cared about them. But when they're going that way and God's going that way, I say goodbye to y'all. And let's just stay with God. Stay with God. He said, if they start talking about something outside of God, you better get away from them. That's what he said. He told his children that you better get away from people that ain't talking about walking with God. Yeah, they talking about doing some wrong things. You better run from them, boys. That's what he told them. I can tell you a huge problem today. We as church members can be around people that talk about everything ungodly under the sun, and we just hang right there with them. I mean, they can cuss God. I had a freak the other day cuss God in front of me, and you talking about rubbing me wrong? It made me mad. I'm telling you, it flared me up. But man, you got a lot of people. They can sit around and tell dirty jokes and talk about every ungodly thing under the sun. Here's what the Bible says. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. I'm going to tell you what we ought to do as a child of God. We're to look up and say, hey, bud, I'm a child of God. I don't want to listen to that trash. And go ahead and leave. Go ahead and leave them with that. Amen. Reprove it.
Yes, sir.
God, you don't have to fix them. You don't have to change them. Reprove them and leave. Amen. Amen. Reprove. That's what the Bible said. Have no fellowship with them. Get away from them. Tell them how wrong they are and leave.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. It's good. You know what? If people don't start reproving the ungodly, how's the ungodly going to ever get convicted? Apparently they're not getting it down at the church that they go to because they continue to talk ungodly. So let's see if we can't get some of God's people to get full of God and do what God said and reprove them in their ungodliness and leave it with God. Amen. Just leave it. Ephesians 5:11 says this, have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. When people entice you, why not tell them no? Are they going to entice you? John, David, and Kaylee, I guess if this thing fit anybody, it would probably fit young people more than anybody, but it fits grown-ups too, and I'm going to show you why. The devil knows you. He knows me. He's going to put something in your path that catches your attention. What the devil uses to entice me is not the same thing he uses to entice you. But he knows what entices me. Somebody says, well, the devil can't read your mind. Don't ever believe the devil can't read your mind. The devil can read your mind. You don't have to speak it, son. I'm telling you. That's why he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let him know that mind. Amen. Let him know that you're thinking on heavenly things. Let him know you're thinking about things of virtue and things that are lovely and things that are pure and whatsoever's of good report. Think on them things. Amen. And when he goes to read your mind, let him read John 3:16. Say, oh, they can't read your mind. Well, Brother Askew showed me not long ago when he was up here in April, that now they got computers that they can put on your things, they can put on you, plug on you, or stick on your head and plug into a computer, and they can show you a picture, JD. And the image that comes up in your mind will go through them wires onto that computer screen. That computer can read your mind. They got computers that can take the thoughts, the images in your head and translate that to a computer screen now. And the devil can't do that. He's the prince and the power of the air. He can't do, yeah, he can do that. I'm telling you, he knows, but he knows what entices you. He knows what your mind is meditating on. He knows what to use to trip us up and what kind of traps to lay in our place. And I'm telling you, the best thing to do as soon as the enticing starts, look it in the eyes and say, no, I'm going to go with God. Yes, my flesh likes that wickedness. Yes, I'd like to indulge, but my spirit says I'm going to go with God and let this mess go. Amen. Stay with God. The devil knows. I'm saying that whatsoever is not of God, if it takes your desire away from God, we're going right back to verse number 1 with it. If it takes your desire away from God, you better break fellowship and reprove it. Otherwise, you're no different. Whatever takes your desires, we're still dealing with them desires in verse number 1. Whatever they offer you, whatever is enticing to you, if it changes your desires from a godly desire, you better reprove it. Better reprove it. Better abstain from it. You know what most people don't get? Most of them think that, well, you know, let me see if I can't slow down a second. I was thinking about, John, David, and Kaylee and them this week, and I was thinking about just not them, but young people in general. And, but you know, when you go deal with young people, for some reason, young people a lot of times think that we don't understand. They just think, well, you don't understand. And because this is what's hip and this is what everybody's doing and I'm a nerd and they make fun of me and y'all just don't understand. Hey, listen to me. JD, y'all look up here real good. I do understand. I had to face the same stupid devil that you face today.
Yes, sir.
They look at us because we do things right and we pray and we go to church and we got all this right instruction and we try to walk with God. They go, well, y'all will understand. I mean, it's different for us. It is! It's the same stinking devil everywhere you go. I have to face him and fight him today too, just like you. Some of those enticements that you got, I get them in a different way. But I get them, friend. I gotta fight the same devil. I gotta fight the same flesh. I gotta fight the same sin. I gotta say no. I gotta say yes to Jesus and no to the world. I gotta fight it too every day of my life. Sure. We understand. Understand. I have to fight the same stinking battles. I just ain't fighting a 15-year-old. I'm not fighting some punk that wants in my pants. I'm not fighting some punk that wants me to smoke a joint. I gotta fight other areas of my life where the devil comes against me that entices me. I don't want to smoke pot. Saved or lost, I don't want to smoke pot today. But there's some things about this we'd love to do. Amen. I'm not trying to get in those strange pants. I'm satisfied in that area with what I've got. But I'll be honest with you, there's other areas that the devil's attacking me that's as strong in my flesh as anything he's fighting y'all with. So, your mom and daddy goes through the same battles that you go through, just at a different level. Just in a different area, I should say. That's right. Moms and dads go through the same battles every day. We have to fight the devil. We have to fight flesh. We have to fight the world. It all comes down to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You're fighting the same thing I'm fighting. We just fight it in different areas.
Amen.
Amen. I got peer pressure. You got peer pressure. We all got the same pressure. Everybody's in the same world. Everybody's in this same wicked flesh. Ain't nobody's flesh glorified. Ain't nobody's flesh saved. Ain't nobody's flesh lifted up above. Hey, listen, we all have to fight this stinking junk. Amen. It's just something, thank God, on the inside of me that helps me that when sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Grace did much more abound. I'm telling you, when the world and the flesh and the devil comes against me, there's a spirit of God on the inside. And he says, I'm greater than all of this world. I tell you, friend, we learn how to just trust in the Lord and walk with God. And we just get a little bit older and a little bit wiser. And we start understanding, my God, what is important in life. And what we should really do. And how to have fellowship with God. And that all this other stuff doesn't really matter. That walking with God does matter. Our eternal abode, it does matter, amen. Sure. Because we're not fighting that fight. We're having to fight this fight of faithfulness. How about that? How about the devil wants to fight your mom and daddy on the fact that, what about this thing of consistency? I tell you, God wants us to be consistent in raising our families. He wants our faithfulness to remain. He wants us to be the same. And I'm telling you, this old flesh gets tired, and we may not feel like being a dad or a mom. I'm telling you, bud, we gotta walk with God and do it anyway. Sometimes there's things in my flesh I don't want to do, but by the grace of God, I gotta keep on keeping on. Amen. Well, you know, Jindy, I like guns and four-wheel drives and fishing rods, and I like going surf fishing, and that's right, I like all them kind of things, man. And every once in a while, I'll do me a good job, and I'll get me $1,000, and man, I'd like to take that $1,000 and go surfing. Oh, I'd like to take that $1,000. Son, you talking about being a joy to me. I'd go down there and sit on that beach, thank God, and keep my clothes on and fish from sun up to sundown and then some. I'm telling you, Miss Sandy, that ain't what God said. God said, pay your bills. And I had to take that money against my will and pay my bills, amen. But in my flesh, I like to go blow it. But God's given me enough about character. No, I gotta go do the right thing. Amen. By the grace of God, we can do it. I'm just telling you, there's things, and it might seem minute, but you wait till you get $1,000 in your hand, and you'd like to be able to go somewhere and do something, but yet the bills are due. And that you need $1,005 to cover them bills. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, bud. Hey, sometimes it might seem small, but hey, doing the right thing, sometimes it hurts at us old flesh. Sure it does. I'd much rather go fishing. Right, much rather go fishing. But the right thing to do is pay my bills. Yeah. And that ain't all, friend. I'll tell you, that ain't all. But listen, do you know what? You know what? 1 Peter 5:8. Let's look at that. Let's look at 1 Peter 5:8. Keep your hand right there at Proverbs. But I don't like reading these scriptures because, listen, you can tell people what the Bible says until you turn blue in the face. But friend, when you start showing it to them in the Bible, it changes things. John David, you got your Bible? Read 1 Peter 5:8. Now, I wonder who he's talking to right there, J.D. Look up your image, son. Wonder who the Bible's talking about right there. Read it again.
Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, has a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour.
Wonder who he's looking to devour.
Wonder who the devil's looking to devour, son. You think it's a teenager? You think it's a teenager alone? Sure, he's looking to devour you. He wants to destroy your life. But don't you ever forget, he's trying to destroy theirs too. He ain't just after you and your sister and your little brother. He's after your mom and daddy as well. He don't take no breaks when he gets to the parenthood. No, no, no. He attacks them before he ever even gets to y'all. Because if he can get the head of the home, he can get the rest of it. If he can get the head of the home and then get a hold of the help of the home, the hope of the home is almost lost. Sure. And that's y'all. He don't take no breaks. He says a roaring lion walking around seeking who he may, not seeking that he may devour the young people. He's walking around looking that he can destroy and devour every stinking body. Everybody. I just want you to put an emphasis. I'm trying to emphasize tonight that everybody has to fight. Everybody has battles. Everybody has to try to do right. Everybody has to walk in wisdom. It ain't just the young people. It's the grown-ups alike. Grown-ups have, you know, I asked old Brother Leroy one time about his daddy fighting them battles, and Brother Leroy said that Kermit said that the battles get tougher the older he gets. Isn't that amazing? An 80-year-old man talking about the battles that he goes through in the Lord. Isn't that something? It ain't just a young person that has to do right. Hey, look, old people have to fight this stinking flesh too. We have to strive for holiness and righteousness. That's right, we got to strive too in this old world. We're not of this world, man. I'm telling you, everything we do is a cross grain. It just rubs us wrong. Everything that's going on. I mean, it's a constant friction against the child of God. And I'm telling you, it takes everything in my power. I just wished I had a bullhorn or something loud enough just to cry out across the United States of America and just tell them some of the things that the Bible says about the kid. Listen, man, I've never seen hate like I see it today. You know what? Can I be honest with you, JD? Do you know how hard it is for me as a child of God to not give over to that? You know how bad, Kelly, I want to hate certain people? You know how bad I just want to go against them and say stuff and run down the president, run down certain races and certain groups and certain ideas. But man, I'm telling you, God told me to love them, and the love of God flows in me. And man, I do love them, and I want to help them, and I understand that they need Jesus. And I have to fight my stinking flesh to keep from getting bitter and hateful and mean. Sure I do. I want to get mean. I want to get hateful. But praise God, man, we have to stay on our knees and ask God to keep us humble. Because this old world needs Jesus Christ. And it's a real good time to let our light shine. Amen? Well, somebody, 2 Corinthians. Kayla, you got your Bible? Let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 1. Okay, yeah, that's a good one. Read verses 3 and 4.
Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God.
All right. There's a lot of tongue twisters in there, ain't it? Blah, blah, blah. How Steve disappeared?
How did you know he got up? Who comforted us in all our tribulation? What tribulation, JD? All this mess that we have to go through. God has to comfort me in the mess that we have to go through. That's right. I'm just saying that we all have to do this stuff. For some reason, sometimes, and we're talking about Solomon dealing with his children. I'm kind of talking to our children today. Sometimes our children think, well, mom and dad, they just, you know, they don't get it. They, you know, this and this and this and this. Listen, I have to deal with it too. She does. 70-some years, she's got to deal with it. Fight that flesh. Get her to shut up and be nice for a week.
Yeah.
Son, you take the cake, I promise you that.
He's about to be like Paul and just die. Well, he has to comfort us. Why, ladies and gentlemen? Because we go through this tribulation that we may be able to comfort them that are in trouble. That's what a lot of us are doing. We try to comfort them after the Lord comforts us by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. What He gives to us, that's what we try to give our children. That's what we try to give our lost neighbors. That's what we try to give our lost loved ones. That's what we try to give our friends, some of that comfort that God gives us. And He has to do it because we're troubled. That's right. He's a very present help in the time of what? Trouble. That's right. Very present help. That's right, the time of need. Grace in the time of need. Amen. That's right. Hey, listen, nobody knows this any better than me, but when you meet people or begin to build relationships, you ought to immediately let them know that you love God right off the bat. John David, when you make a friend, you ought to let that friend know that, man, you know, hey, listen, don't lie to him. You ought to love God. You just ought to love God. But if you love God, you ought to just let them know right off the bat, man, I love the Lord. I'm a Christian, I'm a child of God. If you ain't child of God, don't lie about it. But just tell them, hey man, I want to be a Christian. Trying to do right. I want the Lord. I want the Lord in my life. Amen. You want to know what that'll do? I think Steve just said it. That'll make your life a whole lot easier. Because if you don't tell them, they start getting comfortable. Y'all get to be buddies. And they start getting comfortable. And the next thing you know, they feel comfortable saying about any old thing. But what happens is in the back of your mind, you're going, man, I mean, if you got anything about you whatsoever, in the back of your mind, you're going, man, you really don't want to be part of it. But now you don't want to offend them, and you don't want to cross that line, and you don't want to lose them, and you just kind of twitch too.
Amen.
And then one day, you get the courage and go, hey, man, listen, I should have told you way back then.
That's good, amen.
I love God. Or, I'm trying to have the Lord in my life. I want Jesus in my life. And I'm trying to do right. That person's going to look at you and have zero confidence in your Christianity, in your love for the Lord, or even your desire. They're going to go, you should have told me that right up front. I'm telling you, it's just a whole lot easier, but it'll save you a lot of trouble. If they know that you want the Lord, or if you have the Lord, or if you love the Lord, if they'll know that up front, I tell you, but sometimes they'll just get their self away from you because they don't want to be around you. The world don't love God. Don't love people that's trying to live for God. They just don't. And He said that they hated Him and they'll hate us. And I tell you, if you'll just let this old world know who you stand for, who you trying to get to, and man, I want God in my life. I tell you, man, they'll just kind of work their self away from you. I don't want to be part of that. I don't want to be part of that. But you go ahead and let them know up front. Verse number 3. Golly. Let's go back to Proverbs. I'll quit in a few minutes. Verse number 3 says, now what's this? Through wisdom. Through Jesus, we'll say that. Through wisdom is a house builded. Now that's just how you build a house. Through wisdom. What's this house that the Bible's referred to? Well, let's call it a life. How about that? Through wisdom, you can build your life. Through wisdom, you can build your home. Through wisdom, you build a testimony. How about that? It's pretty good, ain't it? This is how a house is built, with a firm foundation. How? With wisdom. That's a strong, that's a sure foundation. This house can be your life. While this world is built upon the sand, we have the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ Himself, to build on and to stand on. I say you can be saved and still build your house. You can be saved and build your house on the sand. Yeah. There's people that are saved that build their house upon the sand. Don't you see them? The storms come, the rains come, the wind come, and their life destructs. They fall all apart. I mean, man, they got saved, they got a profession, and they probably are saved. They just ain't never got in that blessed book. They ain't never built that foundation. They ain't never built their life upon the Word of God. And when the storms of life come, they have nothing to stand on. When the storms come and the troubles hit their life, my God, they crumble and fall. You say, what are you talking about? There again, can I say, I don't care if you're 16 or if you're 75.
If you ain't built on the rock, praise God, you can't stand the storms of life. I have to stand the storms. I get to get up here, Kaylee, and preach. But I'm telling you what, Sunday to Sunday, I have to face the storms of life, and I have to study the scriptures, and I have to pray, and I have to trust in the Lord with all my heart, and I have to build my house on the rock. I have to lean on Jesus. I have to do what that little songwriter said. I have to live by faith, trusting, confiding in Jesus alone. That's right. That's that foundation. That's that wisdom, the Word of God. Jesus Christ, we can stand on Him. I say, you can be saved and build your house on the sand, but I promise you, you're going to crumble and destruct when the storms of life come. Folks, storms will and do come. Sometimes they're so fierce that if it wasn't for Jesus, there wouldn't be no hope. Sometimes in my life, the storms has got so thick and so dark and so heavy. I'm telling you, man, it just seemed like God wasn't nowhere to hear you or touch you or nothing. Thank God. What do you go to when you can't feel God? What do you go to when you pray and your prayers don't get above the ceiling? What do you go to when you go to church and everybody's enjoying it and you get absolutely nothing? And boy, they say, man, it was good today. And in your heart and in your mind, you know, my God, man, what was good about it? It wasn't good. Sometimes when storms get that dark, I didn't know God was there. Tell you what we got, Miss Stephanie. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, in my Father's house are many mansions. We got the precious Word of God. We got the promises of God. We can stand on the Word of God. I'm telling you, when the storms of life come again, and it gets so dark you can't see, and you can't see the sun for the clouds, I'm telling you, thank God, you can go to the Word and say, thank God, I know that when I'm tried, I'm going to come forth as gold. I know that Jesus is on the other side of them clouds. He's my Father. I'm in Him, and He's in me. And I know, according to His Word, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. And that's where that comfort kicks in, bud, when them tribulations and storms and troubles come and God begins to whisper them words in your heart, that still small, you get to read the Word of God, thank God, and that Spirit, the Amen, that's living on the inside of you. When you get to reading about Jesus over in the Garden of Gethsemane, that Spirit of God that lives on the inside of you, He'll stick His head up and say, that's me, Amen. I'm telling you, but that's what helps us through this whole world. That's what'll sustain us. That's what'll carry us. That's what'll help us stand, thank God. That's what'll keep us from self-destruction. That's what'll keep us when the storms of life comes against us. And I'm telling you, bud, they come against everybody. Everybody. And they are storms. Look in the next book real quick. I'm trying to hurry, but Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I want you to see this. I may not get to where I was wanting to, but we'll find us a cutoff point here soon. Ecclesiastes 12:8 says, vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out. Did you hear that? He sought out and set in order many proverbs. He sought out them proverbs. The preacher sought to find, watch this, John David, listen. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words. And that which was written was upright. Even words of truth, the words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the master of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. Isn't that a blessing? Thank God. This is what the Word of God does. It's what the Word of God does. The words, what's holding our marriages together.
Yeah.
You hear me? I mean, these are nails, man. That's what you build stuff with. That's what you fasten stuff with. That's what you secure stuff with. What's the word? Yeah, hold fast. That word hold fast means to get a hold and don't let, that's what them nails do. They get a hold. It's what the Word of God does. It's like a nail driving that husband and that wife together. You know what it does? The Word of God will take that relationship between a mama and a daughter and fasten it together. It'll take a relationship between a father and a son and fasten it together. And this whole world comes against it, but they're standing in the Word. The devil and the flesh comes against it, but they're standing in the Word. Their delight is toward Him, and He's going to give them the desires of their own heart. Fasten that book. What is Him goes? He said it says goes. What is Him goes? And goes was like a sphere that they took and or a stick. It's like a stick they took and put a sharp point on the end of it, almost like a sphere. And it was used for oxen, JD, when they would plow with those oxen. And those oxen would get to a point where they would just sit down in the road and not plow, not work, not do anything. And they would take those things not to kill them or not to really injure them long term, but they would take those things and poke it, and it was sharp enough to penetrate the rough hide of those oxen. What would it do? It would get them oxen up, get them back in the road, and get them to plow again. Amen. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the Word of God. That's what it does in our life. Every once in a while, we'll get off track with God. We'll give up on God. We'll give out on God. This whole flesh gets weary and well-doing. And I'm telling you, God will take the Word of God. He'll prick you in the heart. It'll get you back on path. It'll get you back on the field. It'll get you busy for God. It'll help you to walk in the Lord. Amen. That's what that Word will do. Amen. God will just take him goads every now and then. The child of God just start pricking us with it. Just prick that Word. Amen. Amen. Get you back. Get you going. Get you to doing something for God. Man. You say, where did, hey listen, your mom and dad might get that goad. Your brother, your sister, your cousin, your friend, your preacher, your Sunday school teacher, somebody that loves you can take the Word of God and prick you along the way and help you. You busy for Jesus Christ. Man, amen. It'll get you going and it'll keep you together. Sure it will. Man, we all just going, going, going. But I tell you, if you'll build a home on the rock, amen, you'll be fastened together. Reason I gave y'all that book, Kaylee, because this whole world takes little girls. One of the reason, but this world takes little girls from their mothers. It takes young ladies, as I should say, young ladies from... Let me throw this out to you, because it just came to my mind. You realize every minute of our life, somebody has stolen, a girl or a woman is stolen and sold into sex slavery every minute of your life. In the last hour, 60 females, little girls, and maybe young ladies have been stolen and sold into sex slavery. Human trafficking, we talked about it the other way. I found out just by looking into it a little bit more that every 60 seconds, a little girl is taken. A mama is taken. A sister, a daughter, some girl, some female is taken. And they ship them off. You look over in Thailand, and you go over there close to that red light district and start walking them streets. You'll see Chinese women. You'll see white Muslim women. You'll see American women. What's all them women doing over there? They've been sold into sex slavery. Instead of just Thai women, it's women of every nation over there walking in streets that's been sold, drugged, and sold into sex slavery every 60 seconds. I'm telling you, this world is out to get our daughters, they're out to get our sons. Listen, daughters, they're out to get your mama, they're out to get your daddy. This stinking world ain't no respect or a person. They want to take her away from you, and you away from her, and you away from him, and him away from you, and they're tugging and pulling in every which direction. But I'm telling you, the only thing we've got is the Word of God. That's all we need. That's all we need. If you'll take this stuff and just build on it and let Jesus Christ rule. Listen, the words of the wise are as goads. They're as nails fastened by the master of assemblies. Jesus Christ can bind your hearts at a time when little girls want to rebel. At a time when young men want to rebel. The Word of God can put a love in your heart and a desire for each other and build something that the world knows nothing about. Thank God for the Word of God. Thank God for the Word of God. Boy, you hear me? I'm telling you. I can say it maybe because Zach ain't here, but every once in a while. I mean, just last Wednesday, I was riding down the road, and God bless me.
just by thinking about what a great son he's blessed me with in my boy, that he loves God, he loves his wife, he loves his daughter, he loves his church, and then he's faithful and he prays. You hear me, son? This world couldn't do that for me. They couldn't give me that much joy. They couldn't bless me that much. I couldn't wait to get to church just to look my son in the eyes and say, man of God, I love you and I appreciate you and I thank God for you.
Amen.
And he looked at me and went, all right. Amen. Amen. I like it. I wouldn't have it any other way. Oh, thank God. I'm glad, Steve, that I come up here on a night by myself and I brought one of my sons with me. And we just sat in the house here for a little while. Wasn't nobody here but us. And I looked at him, I said, son, are you saved? He said, no, Dad, I'm not saved. I said, what about that profession you made? He said, I just did what everybody else was doing. Everybody else was getting saved, and I just wanted to do what they was doing. You say, what you do? I said, man, seek God.
Son, just seek after the Lord. You didn't preach. No, I didn't have to preach. My boys has heard enough preaching to save the world. Our children's heard enough preaching to save. They don't have to have the Romans Road family.
Just seek God, son. Say, so what are you doing now? Well, I go, boy, you seeking God? Did you seek him today? On a constant, you say, man, I'm talking about just that relationship God can build between a husband and a wife, between a son and a daddy, between a mama and a daughter. Only God can do that through the word of God. I think, Steve, I'm not trying to brag. I just
think that the Lord's blessed us with a relationship with our children where they can be honest. Amen. My youngins has always been pretty honest. You say, what do you mean? I mean, they've done some pretty rotten things and come clean to their daddy. That's right. I'm ashamed of it. It hurts. It hurt to talk. It hurt to hear it. It broke my heart. It ripped my heart out. But I had to say, thank God that they got a relationship where they can be open and honest with me and we can talk about it and look at the scriptures and see what the Bible says. And
Amen.
Man, thank God. I'm telling you, you can have harmony in your relationship. Boy, ain't nothing no better than a... You hear me? I don't know how to express it. I don't know the words to say, but they ain't nothing no better than a right home. Amen. When a husband and his wife's loving each other like they supposed to, ain't nothing in this world like that. Ain't nothing on planet Earth like love between a husband and a wife. There ain't nothing in this world like the fellowship between a father and his son. Ain't nothing in the world like the fellowship between a mother and a daughter. I'm telling you, that harmony, that love, that walk together, that closeness, that bond that this whole world tries to destroy, the flesh tries to interrupt, everything tries to put a wedge in there. But I'm glad, thank God, that we can run to the Word and just cling to Jesus.
Have the right thing, man. I'm telling you, nothing in this world like it.
Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I know I'm preaching to the choir, but it's the closest thing to heaven you'll ever have on planet Earth. It's the closest thing to heaven. That's the only heaven that we'll ever have on this whole earth, is that harmony and that home, that godliness, and walking in the wisdom, walking in the Word of God, letting Jesus rule and reign, running from all appearances of evil, reproving the unfaithful works of darkness. Be holy. Live clean. Live right. Even lost. I'm telling you, lost people, if you get the Word of God, you'll obey the Word of God. You'll never get to God disobeying His Word. You'll never get saved walking away from His voice. You'll never get saved when God speaks to you and you do the opposite. I say, go with God all the way to heaven. Saved and lost. Amen. I believe that's how lost people get saved. I believe they start obeying God. That's right. I believe they start obeying God. Trust and obey, we sing, for there's no other way. Not to just be happy, but you can't be saved without it. Mom, I believe before most people get saved, when God really does a work in them, that God starts working on some of their sins. I believe the Holy Ghost starts convicting. I believe the Word of God, that law of God, starts convicting them of their sins. I've seen God do it all like that. But in the vast majority, I've seen it take a process of time and God begin to work little by little and then people repenting before they even got saved. I'm going to tell you something. Nobody ever got saved when God pointed out sins and they didn't kick that on sin. Right. Man's lost and he's a drunk and God points out that drunkenness. The Word of God points out that drunkenness and he will not get rid of that alcohol. He will not get saved. I believe in that repentance before salvation.
Amen. I believe it.
I believe in it after salvation, just all the way through. Well, I gotta go. We gotta hurry. You know how many people have made up their minds to do their own thing, live their own way, dress their own way. They say, I'm done. I'm not going to do anymore. I've done more than everybody else. It's somebody else's turn. Let somebody else go for it. God will take that word and pick you. He'll get you out of that. The Word of God will get you out of that. I've seen people complain about giving. I've give all I'm going to give. Done all I'm going to do. It's somebody else's turn. I've seen people run bus routes and get bitter because nobody else in the church will go knock a door or do anything and they have to do it all. After about 2 years, I've seen people go, I'm done. Let somebody else do it. Thank God that the times in my life where I might have got so stupid to think along those lines that he sent a preacher or somebody with a word and pricked me to get me out of that old junk. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but I'm about sick of this weak Christianity that we have today. We got the weakest Christianity. I'm talking about people not standing. I'm talking about people falling. No weak Christianity. That's right. Why is it so weak? Because it's watered down. The Christianity's watered down. The gospel's watered down. The churches have become, they're not becoming, they have become entertainment centers. You can hear cute little story after cute little story, and all along I'm thinking, man, we need to put the stinking little Reader's Digest up and get the Word of God out. Ain't you glad Paul didn't come with enticing words? He just came with the gospel. Death, burial, resurrection. Amen. The ascension of Jesus. If that won't work, guess what? You're going to hell. That's right. These little cute stories, you know what they're good for? I've been there, I've enjoyed them, man, yeah, hallelujah, well, yeah, it's good. Well, they get you tears to flow, and they get you all emotional, get you real sissified, feeling all soft and mushy, and you want to cry, you want to go hug somebody, and get them little pity stories going.
Yeah.
My God, man. Just get them emotions stirred, and about the first time them storms come, I'm telling you, man, I've heard some of the best little pretty messages, and man, they felt so good, got me so high emotionally, and oh yeah, and tomorrow, my God, man, the devil hit me between the eyes, and I thought I was done. I've sat around and listened to men of God plow through that word, and the storms of life come, and so many scriptures come back to my mind. I go, thank God. There's a root, there's a ground, there's a foundation underneath me. We can withstand this through the Word of God. I hope that makes sense. We'll stop right here. We'll stop right here. I just wish that people would tell this Bible, don't you? I wish they would tell it in English. I would prefer if they would just speak hillbilly a little bit, or redneck, whatever it is we talk. It ain't very good English, but you know, I guess you have to be a Yankee to be able to speak proper English today. But thank God for the Word. Thank God for the Word. I want to go through the chapter 24 of Proverbs, and I was hoping to get down to verse number 5 tonight, 6, and didn't even get past 3. So, Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity. Lord, I pray that you'd take and bless it. Help us, dear God, to walk in the Word. Help us, Lord, to desire the Word of God. Help us, Lord, to delight in the Lord. God, I pray the only way to do that is through walking in the blessed Word of God, to obey your Word. God, do what it says. That's how we delight in the Lord. That's how we get the desires of our heart, obeying him. Lord, I pray that you'd help us. In Jesus' name, amen.